Father, thank you so much for your presence in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that we are yielded and still as you speak to us today. Lord, may I not be the one speaking but you. That your Spirit would come through me, that the Scriptures, and even though I have notes, that it's your notes. That you come through in a way that's beyond what we would ever expect. And Lord, that you would touch each one of us in our hearts where we are right now. Questions that we may have on our minds, uneasiness, concerns, whatever it might be, Lord, we pray through this time that you meet those needs. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is a new year coming, and there's a lot of things that I want to cover, but only a short amount of time to cover them. As we enter this new year, we have experienced craziness this last year. 2017 has been a crazy year. And we can all be saying, as we look at this year and next year, times have changed, haven't they? I can only equate it to time past, history. And I'd like to share a few tidbits from history that were life-changing and shattering to the time. When the bow and arrow and crossbow were created, it was actually about 700 BC. And can you imagine the people when the crossbow was unveiled? China actually invented it. Just imagine these military guys coming up with their swords, and all of a sudden the Chinese, they unveil all these crossbows and start shooting them from a distance. And they're looking at these arrows that are piercing their bodies, falling to the ground, going, "What is this magic? What is going on? The world is coming apart." You know, and I can't even imagine the shock. And now that they had to change their apparel, their armor, they had to put on something to come against the arrows, a shield or something. Well, then, to top it off, China comes along with gunpowder. 142 A.D. And then about 700 A.D. is when they started using it as a weapon. At first it was just like, oh, wow. And you know that it was a mistake that they discovered it? That the Chinese were actually trying to discover something that would prolong their life. And they discovered gunpowder instead. That's something to shorten your life. You imagine the guy that first discovered that? Boom! Well, I guess he's not going to be here. I hope he wrote down the formula. People must have thought that was the end of the world. Gunpowder? Explosions? I mean, it must have just thrown the world into insanity. Well, then we'll jump way ahead to the 1870s when cars came on the scene. The first car was produced in 1870, believe it or not. And then in 1885, the first production car came out. It was not a Ford. Sorry, it was a Benz. 1903, the Ford Model T came out. And you can imagine the people in the countryside. In fact, I read some articles about it. And looking at these stupid horseless carriages. What is wrong with these people? The noise was one of the biggest comments about it, that they were noise, they were a nuisance. They would run into ditches, they would get stuck. Only the rich at that time could afford them. C.E.M. Jode said this, quote, "Motoring is one of the most contemptible, soul-destroying, and devitalizing pursuits that the ill fortune of misguided humanity has ever imposed. Can you imagine? And that we drive them all over the place now. But see, the noisier the better. It was like the Harley Davidsons today. You know, they thought it was great running through towns noisy and obnoxious. Well, then in 1990, the internet came along, and the vice president, what was his?
Gore.
Yeah, he did not invent it. Sorry. Al Gore. Sorry about that. But the World Wide Web came on the scene in 1990. It sounded great. And it has been a great tool. But it has also been a great curse. A January 2017 article came out about the internet. It says the moral decadence, crimes, identity fraud, greatly eroded good morals, is what it said. Well, then, February 2004, Facebook was unveiled. And this has caused other issues. You know, I would ask a show of hands about, you know, how many are on it every day, or every hour, or all day. You know, we'd have a significant amount of hands. Most of our older people aren't on it. My dad, you know, I say, well, just get on Facebook. You'll see all the pictures and things that we have from church and from some of the things that we do. He says, no, I'm not going to do that. Not interested. You know, the younger generations are a little more interested. But you know what it has caused? It actually, these are scientifically things, you know, that they've studied. And it has caused isolation. Actually caused weight gain, depression, aggression, anxiety, eye problems, criminal predators or predation, and abuse have happened all because of our wonderful internet and Facebook. Social media, they call it. Many of the higher executives of these particular groups will not let their children get on Facebook. Imagine that. Well, then we come to more recent things. And really, all through our history, Christianity has been vilified in some way or another. Back in Caesar's day, it was the fault of the Christians that things weren't going well. And so he began to kill Christians. And it was said that he would tie them on stakes in his garden and light them on fire to light his garden up. So, you know, Christians have taken a lot of persecution through the ages. But today, there's a vilification of Christianity. There's more persecution. In fact, in 2017, nearly one-third of Christians who died were at the hands of Islamic extremists. And a study found that 600 million, it's estimated, 600 million Christians were prevented from practicing their faith in 2016. So the Christians have been attacked as usual and vilified. And, you know, a lot of what it is, you know, why do you have to be so stuck in the past? Why do you have to be so old-fashioned? The Christian faith has been vilified more and more to the point that even churches have slid in their stand on God's Word. I want you to go to a few scriptures as we look at that. And the first one, because it wasn't anything new. First Timothy chapter 4, and that's 1806 in your pew Bibles. First Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. First Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, 1806 in the pew Bibles. It says, the Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving. by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good. Nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word and of God and prayer. So, what I want you to look at is these latter times. It's like a prophecy that Timothy that Paul is giving to Timothy and saying in later times. And there's going to be a time where people abandon the faith. You see that widespread over this country and in other countries as well, where people are just abandoning the faith because it's like, you know, we just don't want to be out of sync with the world. We want people to like us. You know, and that's what it says here. They follow deceiving spirits. And you can imagine the deceiving spirits are just saying, you know, hey, get with the program. Times have changed. It's like television. You know, when I was a kid, it was black and white. And some of you older ones, it was black and white. We had about 3 channels, if you were lucky. And they ended at like 11 o'clock, something like that. It was a certain time it ended. And they play the national anthem, and then there would be a flag on there, and then you couldn't tell if it was red, white, or blue because it was black and white. And then it was just this with the you know the signal signs and everything else, just this you know. When you turn the TV off, it went to a little light in the middle of the TV, and we all watch it until it disappeared. That was our thrill. Back in the day. How times have changed. We had Father Knows Best. Now today his Father doesn't know anything. Isn't that true? You know, he's an idiot. You know, they show these programs. I was watching one the other day and it was like the dad was this goofball that didn't have a clue. And I thought, what has happened? You know, My Three Sons, you know, all these programs, Leave It to Beaver. You know, there were so many of these programs that built up families. And now, what has happened? You know, and we just kind of accepted it, didn't we? We just kind of let it happen and we kind of go, well, you know, that times have changed. No, they haven't. I mean, the world has changed, yes, but we shouldn't. We should stay true and stand true to the gospel and what God has for us here. It says that these things, these deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. You know, that's what Satan wants more than anything, is to destroy the family. Because what happens when the family is destroyed? Society is destroyed. Society will fall if the family is not strong. And we see that more and more. We see at the school, I bet, you know, and this is not too far of a stretch. If you ask in a classroom, any classroom or school-wide, how many kids still have a mom and dad at home, still married, and there'd be a vast minority of children who would raise their hands. The vast majority have several different parents, or their parents are in jail, or their parents are separated, or they're divorced, or there's problems, or all kinds of issues, or they're being raised by their grandparents. The family is falling apart. And that's a sign of the times. Because we, even as a church, have allowed deceiving spirits and things taught by demons to enter into the church. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. You ever had something seared with a hot iron? You know, you start bleeding and they say, well, I've got to cauterize it, and get this hot knife. You know, you see the guys in the Westerns and they get the knife red hot and, you know, and sear it. It causes a scar. And that's what happens in our minds if we allow these demonic heresies to come in. You know, foods to too, you know, you think, why did Paul mention food? You know, they forbid people to marry. We see that because that's like, well, that's old fashioned. Let's live together. You know, we don't want to push the envelope. Let's just live together. And then we get married later. But you know, that's not the pattern of what Scripture said. And so you see, that's another heresy, another thing that's been tearing down our strength of our families. And then foods, saying, you know, that the abstains from certain foods. We see that, you know, in California. It's not, it doesn't mean that you can't abstain from food because you have a health issue. My sister, she is a vegetarian now because she has a health issue, and if she eats certain foods, it comes and causes problems for her. So, and some people are gluten-free, and that's fine. Just don't ask me to be gluten-free. I like gluten. All right? So, you know, but there's some things like that. But there's people in California, they start the big trend, vegans and vegetarian and all the other stuff. And it's a fad thing for them. It's not anything to do with health. It just is, you know, their religion in a lot of cases. And it becomes this kind of thing where, you know, well, you're abusing me, or you're not treating me fairly because I don't eat meat, or I'm a vegan or whatever. God says here, you know, if you accept the food with thanksgiving, it's okay. Don't get trapped into doing things because it's a fad or because somebody said you should do it. You won't be accepted. I'd like us to go to 2 Timothy quickly to chapter 4. It's the next book over. And if you close your Bible, 18:13 in the Pew Bibles. Chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. Let's start in verse 3 on this one. And it says here, "For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you must keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry." And so, you know, here Paul is again telling Timothy that in these later times, there's going to be a time where we're going to turn away from sound doctrine. We're going to follow whatever makes us feel good. I've had individuals do that. In my case, they call up and they ask for counseling. And I say, okay, great, let's meet at such and such. And we meet, and I counsel them, and they go, no, I don't like this. I say, well, you know, that's the truth. They go, no, I think I'll go somewhere else. So what they're doing is they're counselor shopping till they find somebody who will agree with or make them feel good. I'm not here to make you feel good. I'm sorry. Sometimes I might hit you somewhere and it doesn't feel good. I've had people tell me that as they leave the services sometimes. They go, man, that really stepped on my toes. I'm sorry. I'm the messenger. And I'm just sharing what God's Word tells us. The next scripture I want us to go to is in Titus. And that's the next book over 18:16, chapter 1, and starting in verse 10 of Titus. And I'm just going to do 10 and 16, actually. So first, verse 10, it says, "For there are many rebellious people, mere talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision group." And then in verse 16 it says, "They claim to know God, but their actions deny Him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good." You see, again, God is sharing in Titus here. He says there's rebellious people. Well, we know that. We see it in the world today. We see these demonstrations and these issues and all this kind of thing going on today. It's kind of crazy because they say that they're all for free speech. Isn't that true? I mean, they're out there in the colleges and everywhere else, and they're saying, you know, free speech, we want free speech. But when somebody that disagrees with them wants to come and speak at the college, there's a big demonstration, they shut it down. Kind of hypocritical, isn't it? And then they go, yeah, we want peace. We don't want violence. We don't want any of that. And then they're beating up the guy over here because he's representing something they don't like. You know, it's a crazy world. It is flipped upside down. 2 Thessalonians. I want you to go there. 2 Thessalonians 18:01. There's just one verse that I want you to look at, but this one verse is worth it. 18:01, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. And of course, this is talking about the Antichrist. It's talking about his rise to power and everything else. And in verse 3, it says this. Don't let anyone deceive you. Don't let anyone fool you. Don't let anyone tell you anything different. It says, no one to deceive you in any way, for that day, the day when the lawless one, the Antichrist, comes, it says that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. And in some Bibles it says apostasy, until the apostasy comes. So we know right away, apostasy is coming. Heresy is coming. People who will not follow the word is coming. It is here. It's already here. We see people who do not want to follow Christ. They do not want to follow the word. They don't want to follow what God says. They want to follow their own lusts, their own desires. And they're hypocritical in their thinking because they say one thing and they do the other. You know, and we as a church have to stand. Now, first, you don't have to turn to 1 Corinthians. I'll read this one. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. It says, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. And do everything in love. You see, as a church, as believers, we're not to let the world influence us. We're not to let, you know, you watch TV, I understand that, I watch TV too. But when we watch certain programs, we either turn it off, or don't let your kids watch it. You know, you can watch it to see what's going on, because I have. I've watched it just to see, and it's like, oh my goodness, how things have changed. It's usually the last time I watch that program. But there's enough variety of things to watch than to watch the ones that demean the things in your family, to corrupt your children, or to corrupt your own minds. We are, as Christians, believers in Christ, to be on guard. Now, you know, when I was in the Air Force, we didn't do a lot of guarding. You know, we were kind of the wimps of the military, you could say. We didn't hardly ever carry a gun. And I used to wake up at 5 in the morning and hear the Army marching through our base and roll over and go back to sleep. You know, we hardly did any marching, we hardly did any. But there was a time where in basic training, they made us stand guard. And they told us that if you fall asleep, it is a court-martial offense. They can bust you down and throw you in jail for falling asleep on guard. Why is it so important? Well, because the enemy comes. You know, what happens if the enemy attacks at that moment? You know, the time that I got the most tired was at like 2 and 3 in the morning. And that's the guard they gave me. It's only a 4-hour deal. 4 hours on and then you're off. And somebody else takes over. But 4 hours, grueling, staying up, awake. I went to the drinking fountain, cold water, trying to stay awake because you don't want to fall asleep. The enemy will attack at the most weakest moment that you are. And in here, it says, be on guard. We as Christians, we kind of get lazy. We get complacent. We kind of kick back and say, you know, life is good. Can't wait for retirement. And I got to say, I'm looking forward to some retirement too. But will that mean that I sit back and don't do anything? God forbid. Retirement just means you change occupations from doing what you did constantly and had to go and punch the clock to now you can do what you want to do. But you do it for the Lord. Doesn't mean you sit back in your house and just watch TV all the time and eat chocolate and whatever, which I'd love to do, but it's not what you're supposed to do. Be busy. Stand guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love. One last scripture. I'm not going to let you go too easy. One last scripture. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. That's 1781. 1781 in your pew Bibles. We still got time. We're getting packed with a lot of information here today. Chapter 6, starting in verse 11. Well, let's start in verse 10. I want you to see this. In Ephesians 6:10 says, finally. You see, Paul, again, is talking to the people of Ephesians, of Ephesus, and he's telling them what they need. And in verse 10, he's telling them, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There is an apostasy coming upon this world. We have already seen it. It is getting stronger and stronger all the time. Churches have fallen prey to it and have fallen away from strong doctrine, and they're allowing themselves to let the devil's schemes infiltrate and change them. And it says here to be strong in His mighty power, to put on the full armor of God so that you can what? Stand against the devil's schemes. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, folks. Right here is the truth. Right here is the book that we need to follow. And I want to say that out there, they can bring a lot of good-sounding arguments. They can tell you all kinds of things that sound pretty good. But if it's not accordance with the Scripture, if it's not accordance with sound doctrine, throw it away. Get rid of it. Because you will not be able to stand firm. And the apostasy will overtake you. So, my final conclusion or challenge to you is this next year, make the Bible your standard. Make the Bible what you follow, no matter what. And keep your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, the finisher of your faith. I'd like you turn to our hymn books, or actually, I guess it'll be up on the screen. Draw Me Nearer. We're just doing the first and last verses, but I want to read these verses so that we don't miss them. I am Thine, O Lord. I have heard Thy voice, and it told Thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to Thee. The last verse says, there are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with Thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord,
to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Amen.
I hope that's our prayer. Let's all stand and sing now.